Stupidity has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gatz, a man I consider a personal hero, an icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gatz providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gatz's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
All right, welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world. Subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Stanzik, what episode is this?
Really?
Really? Dude, I'm telling you, man, everything's bleeding. I'm telling you. I was up in New York. We had a big event. I got the Final Four this weekend for women's college lacrosse. I'm doing Around the Horn on Friday. I got, you know, highly questionable all next week. I don't even know what day it is, let alone what episode this is. So I just cut me some slack, dude.
Yeah, well, last week was 15, so I figured it'd be easy. You just do the math and know that this is 16.
All right, 15 plus 1. Right, that's good math. You think I remember a thing? Listen, when I throw it to you, do you think I'm listening to what it is you actually say? It's just so I can catch my breath.
And think about what you're going to say next? That makes sense.
Oh, man. So what episode is it again?
16.
Stupidity. How old are you?
It's almost like you never remember that either. I am 33, and I graduated college 11 years ago this week.
Wait, you're 33?
Yeah.
And you've told me that before?
Every week.
Oh, okay. So listen, so graduation is a sore topic for me. I graduated, shocking. I bet that's a surprise to you, right?
Yeah. Do you have your diploma like hanging in your office where you're recording this right now?
No, framed? Dude. No, no. Well, I do have a diploma hanging in my office right now, but it says I went to Yale.
Stole it from Mina?
Yeah. Yes, I stole it from Mina. And, you know, because I'm heavy-handed, what I did was I bought some whiteout. Remember whiteout back in the day?
Yeah, like middle school, of course.
Right. And you just put it over the mistake, and then you wait for it to get hard, and then...
Dry. Hard just sounds weird.
Thank you. And then, so what I did is I got white out, I put it over Mina's name, and with a black Sharpie, I just wrote in my name. So everyone here, you know, when they come visit the house, they think I'm a graduate of Yale. How about that? The Bulldogs. The Ivies. Skull and Bones. I mean, NCAA men's lacrosse champions, just outside of New Haven, Connecticut, by the way, your neck of the woods. How about that? I mean, at some of the best pizza, I am telling you, that you've ever had. It's really one of the prettiest campuses in America, but the pizza even better. Modern, Pepe's, Sally's. I mean, just listen, no one knows Yale like me. That's the deal. How about that?
It's in New Haven, not outside New Haven.
Wait a second. So it's not in New Haven? Where the f*** did I go?
Clark University.
Just outside of New Haven. How about that? And speaking of Clark University, I got to tell you, Stanzik, okay? I am pissed off. Are you familiar with Clark University?
Only that you went there.
Okay, so it's in Worcester, Massachusetts, which is just outside of New Haven, Connecticut. And I am telling you, it's a small private school. I played lacrosse there, okay? And when I say small, Stanzik, I am telling you, my high school is bigger than Clark University, okay? And I have been irate for years. I've talked about this on the radio show. I'm going to talk about it right now with you. The fact that Clark University has never reached out to me, because it is my lifelong dream to give a commencement speech at a college graduation, at Clark University's college graduation. That's where I went to school. It has been a lifelong dream of mine to deliver a speech. And I'm telling you, Clark University, a school, when I went there, had, I think, 3,000 kids total, 3,000 total students. There is no f***ing way on God's green earth that I'm not one of the five most famous alumni that graduated from that university. It took me 5 years, but I graduated from that university. And Stanzik, it bothers me till this day that they have never reached out to me to deliver that commencement speech. The only time they reach out to me is when they're digging into my pockets, they want money, and I am telling President Angel right now, okay, up at Clark University, if you want my money, I have to do a commencement speech. Until I do a commencement speech, stop asking me for money. In fact, President Angel, go to hell. And when you get there, say hello to Art Briles for me. I mean, Stanza, you agree with me on this, right?
What's weird is I actually do. Like, you have a lot of crazy ideas from time to time, but this one actually makes a ton of sense. One, you definitely have to be one of the most famous alums from Clark University. And two, despite what people may think of you, you are a professional broadcaster. So in theory, you would be able to put together quite a good speech that the students may be interested in. You play to the everyman, and I think most students want to hear that. But I think when the administrators make those decisions, they're making those decisions to impress the parents. Like, look who we got to come talk at our university when your son or daughter graduated. I think they're like, hey, we have this broadcaster from ESPN. I don't know if that plays great with the parents, although if I was a student, I would love it.
Well, let me tell you, I mean, seriously, the students would love it. You know that, okay? ESPN personality, you know I'm big at colleges, okay? Like, the kids love me, all right? The college kids love me, all right? And I'm telling you, the parents, now, maybe not the moms, but the dads would be thrilled if they knew I was delivering that speech, all right? Listen, you know that, I know that. The only one who doesn't know that is President Angel. And again, go to hell. I mean, Stantic, I'm legitimately hurt here because there's such a tiny, tiny celebrity alumni base to choose from if you're Clark University. And listen, I went there 5 years. I gave them everything I had. Okay. I gave that lacrosse program everything I had. And I should be in the Clark University Hall of Fame. It's a travesty that I'm not. They've never asked me to do a commencement speech. They don't have like this long list. I mean, there's 3,000 kids at that school. So, there are not many famous alumni, and I'm just hurt. I don't know who's doing it this year, but my guess is it's going to be someone who's not nearly as famous as me. Stanzik, do you have any idea who's doing it this year?
I do. Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie.
What? I can't believe they went there. I mean, they're probably a year off on Lurie. They didn't even make the playoffs last year, and now he lost Nick Foles. I mean, what a travesty. This is a disaster. Stanzik, you agree that at the very least they should reach out to me one of these years and say, hey, Stigatz, ESPN, big-time lacrosse player, you should deliver a commencement speech in the 508 here in Worcester, Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, I actually do agree with you. But, Stu, here's a good way that you can impress Clark University, get you there for 2020. You have your own school, the Stugatz School of Broadcasting. You deliver a speech there, impress the people at Clark, bing, bang, boom, you're there next year.
That is a heady play, and I will tell you, you just mentioning the Stugatz School of Broadcasting has your tongue all twisted up. How about that?
Stupidity!
Listen up, students, faculty, parents, grandparents, and sponsors, especially the sponsors. TISO, the official watch of the NBA, that beautiful Spalding game day leather, and ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Graduates, ZipRecruiter will hire the producers, guest bookers, and researchers that will make your jobs even easier. Today is a date which will live in infamy for graduates of Syracuse and Northwestern. Great moments are born from great opportunity, and that's what you have here. That's what you've earned here. If we debated them 10 times, they might win 9, but not anymore. Today, we interrupt them. Today, we clash with them. And we shut them down because we can. Today, you are the greatest broadcasters in the world. You were born to be broadcasters, every one of you. This is your time. Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what great broadcast schools the Ivies have. Screw them! This is your time. I had a dream many years ago. I had a dream that my two teenage children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of the paycheck their father's character receives. I knew it wouldn't be easy to transform sports media, but take it from me. You miss 100% of the takes. You don't steal from Greeny, Cowherd, and Pablo. I mean, I've missed more than 9,000 pronunciations in my career. I've lost almost 300 debates. 26 times I've been trusted to make the segment-ending joke and misheard what was said in my ear. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. Always remember what you learned on your first day here. Speak loudly and carry a big shtick. You'll go far. To my many detractors, I ask, do you want the truth? Because most traditional reporters can't handle the truth. We live in a world that has paywalls, and those paywalls have to be guarded by men with journalism degrees. Who's going to do it? You, Lieutenant Wilbon? I have a greater responsibility than you could possibly fathom. You weep for newspapers, and you curse the blogs and podcasts. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that the death of newspapers, while tragic, probably created better content. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, creates better content. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about in press boxes, you want me on that radio. You need me on that radio. You use things like stats, sources, and post-game quotes. You use those things as the backbone of a life spent defending something. I use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to everyone who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I'd rather they just say thank you and went on their way. Otherwise, I suggest they borrow someone else's takes and mail in a podcast. Either way, I don't give a damn what they think they are entitled to. My fellow broadcasters, ask not what your alma mater could do for you. Ask what you could do for your alma mater. And what you could do is send yearly donations. Better make it monthly donations. If you want to make them weekly, that's fine. Just make them out to my name. Keep the cash flow coming. The buck stops here at my desk. And speaking of the Bucks, must win game, game 5 tonight. And so you don't have to pronounce his name, as I taught you, remember, just call him the Greek Freak. In less than an hour, you will join others from around the world, and you will be launching the largest vocal battle on traditional journalism in the history of mankind. Journalism. That word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is graduation day. And you will be sent out into the world to fight people with framed diplomas and stacked resumes. We will be fighting for our right to not work hard, to have no credibility, and still be able to land at the same network as Bob Lee. And should we win the day, graduation day will no longer be known as a day of accomplishment, but as a day other parents realize they have wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars, and a day that we, the underachievers, declared in one voice, we will not watch the game at night. We may or may not watch the big fights. We're going to live on without facts. We're going to survive without reading. Today, we celebrate your graduation day.
Stupidity.
Hiring is challenging, but there is one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place, of course, is ZipRecruiter.com/Stupod. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. I said it's free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. That's ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod, StuPod, ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, Stanzik, what time is it?
TISO time.
It is indeed. TISO is the official watch of the NBA. Each one of TISO's timepieces delivers quality performance and traditional luxury. This graduation season, get the NBA fan in your life a TISO watch. The TISO Chrono XL is a great watch for those looking for a sporty chronograph with Swiss technology at an unbeatable price. Shop now at us.tisoshop.com. If you have a son who is graduating coming up here in the next month or so, there is no better gift than the gift of TISO. Get him a great watch. They're going to absolutely love it. Check him out at us.tisoshop.com.
Stupidity.
All right, Stanzik, the Warriors are just sitting around. They're waiting around. They're getting healthier. They're waiting to see who wins the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know how much of that series you watched with them against Portland and how much you've watched of their run here through the playoffs, but it seems to me at least like Steph Curry is enjoying this just a little too much, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. You'd be an idiot not to see it. He is relishing without Durant on the floor, and I think Draymond is taking it one step further than that.
I really enjoy it. Draymond, the guy who called them after they lost to the Cavs, he's the guy who got in his car, drove around calling Kevin Durant saying, hey, next year you got to come here. But now Draymond seems like he's enjoying it even more than Steph. You're right about that.
Yeah, now he's telling Durant to get the f*** out of here.
Right. Hey, everyone forgot how good we were before you got here. We won 73 games before that guy stepped foot in this arena. I was a triple-double machine back then. This is what I could do when Kevin Durant's no longer here. You're right. In fact, I'm guessing he has told them exactly that. KD, when this season's over, get the f*** out of here.
You know what's funny is you've had this take on Durant for so long, and I think it's been like a 2-year victory parade for you. Because the old Warriors are back for these last 5 games that they played, and everyone's like, oh my God, I forgot how much I love this team. Durant put them over the edge where we all started to hate them. They were so lovable, and then they got too good because of Durant. Now they're lovable again because Durant's not healthy.
Well, and that's how it works, and I don't understand how Kevin Durant doesn't see that. I mean, he didn't just join any team. He joined a team that had won 73 games the year before. More wins than any team in NBA history has ever won in a regular season. Lost in the NBA Finals, but they won the championship the year before that. They were good. That was the problem everyone had, I had, and everyone else jumped on board. The problem everyone had, Stanzik, was the feeling was this. It was the only team that could beat that Warrior team was the team that had Kevin Durant on it. Maybe LeBron James, but certainly Kevin Durant. And then Kevin Durant decided, hey, you know what? I am going to wreck all that. I am not going to go against this team. I'm just going to join this team.
Yeah, he took the easy path, just like you.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm not Kevin Durant. I'm not a world-class athlete, a world-class competitor. I am a world-class fraud. Therefore, I mean, that's what I do. I take easy paths. He's not supposed to. He's supposed to be a competitor, you know?
Yeah, going to Golden State made him look like a fraud, though.
Yes, it did. So the Stugats are stronger than one might say.
You could.
All right, so Marcus Thompson, I want to explain this to our audience because he's going to join us here in a second. I'm very excited for this because he is a senior columnist at The Athletic, okay? He has written not one but 2 books. He is the authority on Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. He wrote a national bestseller, Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. That came out in 2017. Now he has a new book, KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. So he has crazy access and great relationships to Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant, let's be honest, on or off the court, is the biggest story in sports right now. Is he going to stay? Is he going to leave? If he leaves, where is he going to go? If he stays, what's that going to mean for the rest of the league? So KD is the biggest story in sports right now. The Warriors, the biggest story in sports right now. And we have a guy who has spent more time with both these guys, Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, than anyone over the last couple of years. And that is Marcus Thompson. Now, for our audience, they'll be interested in this. On October 9th, Marcus wrote, if I had to guess, Durant is gone. No, this is not something I am reporting. This isn't a source said thing. I didn't say that on the air either. I just get the feeling in my gut that he's gone. and my gut is robust, so I trust it. Now, for the Levitard and Stugat Show listeners, they will now recognize that Marcus Thompson is the reason that I take my shirt off, Mike Ryan paints a face on my stomach, and I actually tell you what my gut is feeling. Not with my mouth, my gut actually talks. So this is the guy, Marcus Thompson, was the reason that we started doing that segment on the show. And the reason we stopped doing that segment on the show is because people are just tired of looking at my stomach.
Stupidity.
So with Steph, just give us like something about Steph Curry that few people know about Steph Curry. Do you have something for us?
He loves Sour Patch Kids. he's addicted to those things. I think New York Times wrote a big piece uncovering his addiction to popcorn, but he is a popcorn snob to the point where it's really only about movie popcorn. Like, that's the best. If you don't eat movie popcorn, I got chastised in the locker room because I told him I go to this popcorn place, get my fancy stuff, and sneak it into the movies. But Steph is like, that's blasphemy to him because there's no better popcorn than movie popcorn.
Marcus, I gotta be honest with you.
Don't you dare, Marcus.
I got to be honest with you. I side with Steph here, Marcus. You can't go buy your hoity-toity popcorn from the expensive popcorn place, Marcus, and bring it to the theater. You can bring stuff into the theater. I do it all the time because it's cheaper to go buy it in the store. And Lord knows I'm not spending $17 on Goobers. But Marcus, Steph happens to be right there. You got to go movie popcorn, lot of salt, lot of butter. Stancic, you agree with me on this, right? You're on Steph's side here?
I am on Marcus's side.
What?
My gut is telling me, give me that caramel corn.
You got to go movie popcorn,
Marcus. You can't get Chicago-style popcorn. You can't get Chicago-style popcorn in movies. Also, here's what you're underestimating, and I worked at a movie theater. With that butter and with that salt is the bare hands and hair of teenagers who don't care about keeping your popcorn clean. They just sticking their hands in there, they're dropping stuff on the floor. You trust teenagers working at a movie theater to handle your popcorn?
Marcus, that is a fair point. I didn't even think about that. So are you telling me that on occasion your dirty hands and maybe a couple of hairs fell into the popcorn machine?
I'm saying that's who works at movie theaters, right?
All right, so what kind of popcorn? So you get the Chicago-style popcorn. What is that? Yeah, I don't even know what Chicago-style popcorn is.
It's caramel and cheddar mixed together, right? You got the two flavors combined. There's a place called Cornucopia or something like that where they got all this popcorn. Also good is the truffle parmesan, you know, because I'm pinkies out. This is the Bay Area, you know what I'm saying? So we out here living our best life. It's pinkies out popcorn.
Right. With all that said, dirty hands, hair, all of it, I still agree with Steph, man. I got to feel like I'm at a movie, and I don't feel like I'm at a movie unless that thing is just – Listen, I don't care if there's hairs in it, as long as there's a lot of butter on it. I'll get past the hair, okay?
Butter sterilizes all germs.
Yeah, that butter does, for sure. So, Marcus, if you don't have popcorn, if you can't stop and get your Chicago-style popcorn, you're forced to buy something at the theater. What's your go-to candy?
Oh, man. So here's what we do. And Steph thought this was also blasphemy. Me and my daughter do this all the time, right? Okay. We get the popcorn, and we buy the M&Ms and pour it in the popcorn. That's our thing.
Wow. That's a heady play, Marcus, I got to tell you.
I'm telling you. I'm in this snack game. This is what I do.
I can learn a thing or two from you. What was Steph's issue with that? I mean, what was the problem there?
That's blasphemy. He couldn't tolerate it. He was literally unwrapping his ankle, right? Because he had to wrap around his ankle, and he threw it at me like, get away from me. He's like, I soil majestic movie popcorn by putting M&Ms in it. Let Steph tell it.
I am tempted to let him go right now, Stancic. I swear to God.
No way, man. He's right. You get a little sweet with the salty.
No, meaning I'm tempted to let him go and like no conversation about KD and Steph.
Oh,
just kidding.
I mean,
okay, I'm joking.
Write a book about candy, Marcus. We'll read that one.
Listen, you are more passionate about candy than you are about basketball. You realize that. I hear it in your voice, Marcus.
I'm a little bit. You might be right there. That's probably my problem, though. I probably need to be a little bit more passionate about basketball than you.
Marcus Thompson with a senior columnist at The Athletic, national best-selling author, has a new book out, KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to be the greatest. All right, so you gave us something good there on Steph Curry. Give us something, same question for KD, something that few people know about Kevin Durant.
Man, Kevin Durant loves conversation. That really surprised me about KD. I didn't know, you could just talk to him. Like, unlike most superstars, right? Like, you can go up to Kevin Durant and literally say, man, what's your take on broccoli? And he'll have a conversation. We've talked about all kind of stuff. He's very chatty. He's very conversational. He loves just having conversations with people. With NFL, baseball, the hood, like all kind of stuff we've talked about. And he loves especially hip-hop. He's a big hip-hop head. He's into battle rap, you know, so we've talked about that. Like, he just likes to talk. He just likes talking to people. He's very personable in that way.
That's very cool. So did you get his take on broccoli? Like, or like, was that an actual question that's been asked to him?
I need to.
Marcus,
I go to him.
I want to give you a list of questions just to go up to KD and like just broccoli being one of them. And then I want to have you back on this podcast to do this again.
I'm so nervous about the list you would give me. I think my relationship will be over if I let you give me a list.
I swear to you, Stanzik, we have to do this. I am going to give you a good list. I'm not going to get you in trouble. I promise you, okay?
I say text him right now, Marcus. By the time this interview is over, you should have a text back.
Yeah, can you text
him? Just say, do you like broccoli?
Hey, what are your feelings on broccoli? Cheddar cheese, straight up? Like, do you think he'll respond?
Probably not now. No, it's in the playoffs. You got to be face to face.
Well, he's not playing?
They've got like 2 weeks off before the finals. This is a perfect time to do it, man.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to spend his time talking to reporters. Like,
oh my God, that
but
is.
You get
great.
You get him in person. Like Kevin Durant, he's a very nice guy. Like he's very nice. You know, most of these guys you can't just really talk to. You kind of got to already know them,
right?
And build a rapport. Like day one, me and KD were chatting. I was like, wow, look at this dude. He's very friendly.
So, what's the strangest conversation you found yourself in with Kevin Durant?
Oh man, I wrote about this in a book. We had this long talk about what Kanye really meant when he said slavery was a choice. Like, that was a good conversation.
And so how did it go?
It was like right before a game, too. So it got real deep in there. It got real, like, philosophical.
It's an important conversation. I'm glad we're having it. So take us through that conversation. What were your feelings, his feelings?
So, well, the general feelings everybody had was just, like, this is crazy. How could Kanye say that, right? And so, you know, we're just talking about it. I'm asking people. So I asked Kevin, and he's like, man, you don't want to hear what I got to say. And so I'm like, oh, come on, KD. Don't do it. Don't do this. Don't do this. And then we start talking about it. And, like, he's one of those guys who likes to challenge, like, status quo and how to groupthink, right? So he'll take a contrarian side just for the sake of the conversation. So he's saying this stuff, and I'm like, you don't even really believe this. And he's like, nah. But he was making a point about, like, we all prisoners in our mind. And, like, you know, so then we had to – it became, like, what can't you do if you put your mind to it? And I was like, yeah, I can't be a mother. And he's like, man, stop. I'm not talking about that. Like, but, if you put your mind to anything, can't you do it? I was like, no. Like, then we had this debate about talent and ability and work ethic. And his point was, if he puts his mind to it, he can do it. And I'm like, nah, you got to kind of work within your gifts. If you work within your gifts, then, you know, that's how you, like, excel. But if I start doing stuff that I'm not good at, I'm not gifted at, you know, then that's where I set myself up to fail. And he's like, no, see, you're a prisoner of your mind. So it was like this real, like, deep philosophical debate that started with whether or not Kanye was crazy for saying slavery was a choice.
Two things from that, Marcus. So I like how Kevin enters a conversation. You don't want to hear my thoughts on this is a passive aggressive way of, I'm about to tell you my thoughts on this.
Absolutely. That's yeah. What I knew. I was like, ah, here we go. Yeah. This is it.
And the other thing, Stanzik, you notice this, KD just says things to say things, reminds me of Will Cain. How about that? Stupidity. Anyway, Marcus Thompson with us on Stupidity here. So, Marcus, this is interesting because it's a fascinating time in KD's life and his career. So I'm wondering, you know, you have intimate knowledge of Kevin Durant, his personality, more so than just about anyone else doing this. So how do you think KD is experiencing how the Warriors are playing without him right now?
So for the longest time, since mid-March, the Warriors have been in this real, like, kumbaya vibe, right?
Yeah.
And they're all getting along so well. It's like it was such a drastic, like, change from how it was early in the season. It was almost like they said, all right, let's go. It's time to band together. And they were real, like, spirited with each other. They were, like, all, like, kind of lifting each other up. It was, like, real sappy. And I, like, remember when Kevin Durant was like, yo, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. And he went out and dropped 50. And then they all just started saying, yeah, this is the best player in the world. And we like, this is our leader and we need him back. And then they go out and beat Houston and they're like, we did this for KD. So, you know, we want our guy back. Even Klay Thompson, who's the most like, don't care about nothing, right? Non-sentimental dude in the world. He's like, this ain't the same without KD. And then you got KD in the hall, like waiting for them after they win and cheering them. And like, they just seem to be in that space. So from what we can tell, like, that's the shield that they're in. Like, they've kind of like blocked everything off and they're in their little team unity bubble. So I think he's actually feeling pretty good. And then he goes on, Twitter and take a shot at Chris Broussard yesterday. Right. So I'm like, oh, maybe he's starting to get a little irritated, right?
Well, the Warriors themselves seem to be enjoying it just a little too much, if you know what I mean. But that's interesting that he went on Twitter and because he's affected by some of this and that is obvious. So I'm wondering, like, it seems like what bothers KD is he hasn't received the validation he expected from the fans and the media. When he joined the Warriors. I mean, he's a two-time finals MVP. He certainly hasn't gotten it from me, and he hasn't gotten it from most fans and most people in the media. Do you think that I know it hurts him, but do you think that's surprising to him?
I think it's a little surprising. I think there's a part of him that just kind of expects, like, look, watch the game, right, and see how I dominate and then judge based on that. But I also feel like there's a part of KD who's, like, let his hair down, and it's like, look, I kind of like the sport of you say something to me, I'm coming back at you.
Right.
And, you know, that might be the PG County in them. Like look, you don't get to just say what you want about me and just be free reign. Like, I'm not going to say something back. Like, and I think he doesn't want to give up that right because we think he should give it up. Even yesterday, like, I don't even think what he said was bad. He said, well, you think this is a nightmare. And I mean, in reality, we're talking about a dude whose best friend got killed in March.
Right.
Right? Like, a childhood boy. So he's like, you think this is hurting? Right? Like, right. I got some real nightmares that have happened. So I don't even know if it was that bad. I just think we all want him to shut up and play. And he's like, yeah, nah, that's not what I want to do. So I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. So I think there's a little rebellion in it, a little PG County, I'm a fire back, but there's no question that he hears and he feels what people say about him. And he's just that type of guy. That dude he feels a lot. I wrote about this in the book. Like he, and here's the part that I grew to respect. He's fine with you knowing that. Whereas other players, other people, you know, they would just hide it and act tough in front. And he's like, yeah, nah, I don't like what you said. So yeah, that bothered me what you said. He's willing to be vulnerable in front of everybody, which is actually in this age of like social media filters and fake butts and all that. I kind of actually respect somebody who's willing to be authentic.
But it's, he has to understand though, Marcus, right? He joined a team that was 73-9 the year before he joined them. Like they were pretty good before he got there. And that's what, like, there's a lot of fans. Listen, I'm one of them. I have said constantly he took the easy path. That's it would be the equivalent of Michael Jordan not being able to beat the Pistons. So rather than come back with the Bulls and try again, he would join the Pistons. It kind of felt like that to me. I know how great of a player he is. That's not the issue. The issue is he joined a team that was already great without him. So it kind of wrecked the balance of the NBA from this standpoint. It was my feeling the only team that could beat Golden State was a team that had Kevin Durant on it, and he took that away from NBA fans. He has to understand that, right?
Can I be the defensive KD? Can
I? Yeah. In fact, I want you to be the defensive KD. Yes, please.
All right. So I think we are being super particular just about the how and not actually what happened. Michael Jordan didn't just keep trying with the Bulls. The Bulls got better players.
Right.
Like,
Kevin had Russell Westbrook. I mean, he did have Westbrook there. I mean,
and we've seen Russell Westbrook is not as good as we thought he was.
As a number one, yes, I agree with you. But as a number two, that's pretty damn good, Marcus.
Look, he even said it in a burner account. Like, look who he's with. Like, he's got to go get Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, and he's got Westbrook, and that's pretty much it. They're playing Andre Roberson, right? They got rid of Harden. They got rid of Serge Ibaka. They got rid of Jeff Green. Serge Ibaka was on his way out. Like, they just had a limitation. Like, I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying if he recruited Steph, to Oklahoma City and basically do the exact same thing, create another super team, we will be fine with that. So it's not that we have a problem with the fact that he needed more players and better players around him to win. Like, nobody's saying that's the problem. We just have a problem with the how. And I'm saying that's a little finicky on us. If he says, I'm going to go to New York and I'm going to get Anthony Davis and Kyrie, it's the exact same thing.
No, but I don't think
it's the same thing.
But the Knicks weren't. No, but Marcus.
That he came up with.
I know, but Marcus, the Knicks weren't 73-9 the year before. Like,
but it doesn't matter. He's not playing with the Knicks that are terrible and building them up. He's basically bringing a team, like a built team, to the Knicks. It's not like he's saying, it's me and you, Kevin Knox, right? We're going to build. No, he's like, all right, get all that trash out of there. Let me get some superstars, and then let's go. It's the same thing. He just said, man, I need to be some superstars to win with. I like those in Golden State. We just rather him choose some other ones somewhere else.
Marcus, I got to tell you something, man. Well, Stanzik will be the jury in a second. I got to tell you something. You are f-ing great at being defensive Kevin Durant. I mean, no one. You're better at it than Kevin Durant. How about that? Amazing.
Hey, maybe I could quit this journalism thing and go into attorney.
All right, Stanzik, you're the arbiter here. Who do you agree with?
I just have one question for Marcus.
What?
If KD is so happy and content with this decision to go to Golden State, and he's rationalized the decision, why is he going to leave?
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. I don't know that he is so happy with the decision. I think that was the issue with Draymond. Like, it's like, dude, like, why are you not signing this long-term deal?
Right.
But here's another thing. I feel like Kevin Durant is, like, he's been waiting for this his whole life. That's what, like, since he was 9 years old. And he was tall, and he could shoot, and he's been on this trajectory. Like, he's been waiting for this his whole life, right, in Oklahoma City, knowing he was one of the best, knowing he was up there, but still not getting the clout. Now he's a free agent. Remember last time he was being Mr. Nice Guy and didn't even do free agency, right? He just did the whole, right, I'm going to sign and then say it on Twitter. But, like, now he's at the top of the game. I think he went into this thinking, absolutely, this is what you do when you're the A1 free agent. This is what you do when you're the best player in the league. That's what I think he went into it, and then it became like a problem. But he watched LeBron do the same thing. So I don't know that it was like unhappiness, but likewise, if he was completely sold, maybe he just signs the 5-year deal and this is all over with, right? Maybe he does that in the end anyway. But I do think there are other factors in this where he's like, yo, it's finally my turn at the top. So, yeah. Y'all better line up and have your best offers ready. because now it's my turn.
Stanzik, can you give us a winner here or not?
I mean, hung jury, right? At minimum.
Come on, Stanzik.
I mean, Marcus is great as a defense attorney, but I still think KD's guilty.
My man. All right. I like it. I win. Marcus.
See? Criminal justice system ain't for us.
Stupidity.
That was fair. How do you think Steph is experiencing this? Like he's enjoying this without Kevin Durant, right? It seems like he is.
I think he's like, you know, Steph is a high usage player when without Kevin Durant, and when Kevin Durant's there, he's off the ball. I think Steph was wise enough to know that there's a price from being a high usage player. I think he saw in advance what's happening to James Harden. So while he might like to get the shots, every player loves to get the shots, I think he knows in the long run, it's not a winning strategy. So, like, if you look at it now, like, there was nobody else to create except Draymond pushing the ball in transition. And the moment they, for some reason, Portland didn't do a good job of trapping. Right. But when Giannis is waiting at the rim, all them drives is out. So I think Steph knows better than anybody. You got to have a number two, like somebody else who can create a shot. So Steph is, he was a Davidson. You know what I'm saying? Steph is the ultimate team guy. He's the most rah-rah college mid-major spirit. Like, you know, he's definitely much more into that than he is getting all the shots. He's about to try to have his teammate back. If I know Steph, I know that to be true.
What's your gut telling you, though? What's your gut? What is Marcus's gut telling him about where KD's going to go?
My gut's telling me he stays.
Oh, man.
My gut has altered.
It's
probably
changed?
Because some person put their hand in the movie popcorn, and now, like, my gut is off. I got recency bias. The owner of the Warriors said he feels pretty good about KD and Clay staying. So,
yep.
he's usually pretty right. So I'm like, why is he saying that? What does he know? So now I'm thinking,
You are my guy because you now have both sides covered of this story. Like, regardless of what happens here, you're going to be right. And I am proud of you.
You like
I mean,
how
you,
I did that, right?
You're
you
everything. Like I, well, you're everything I aspire to be. You're everything I've become, to be honest with you.
There you go. I'll set this all up so I can be right. That was the game. Thanks for putting me on blast on my scheme here.
Well, I love it. We'll get you out of here on this note. Check out his new book, KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. Marcus Thompson, senior columnist at The Athletic. What else has your gut told you? Like, let me do it this way. Just rub the gut. Do however you want to do it. Just do it, okay? Will the Jets ever win a Super Bowl?
Yes, they've already won one.
Will they ever win one? Will they win one? Let's just say I'm alive for another 40 years. Will they win one in the next four decades?
My gut tells me yes, because they will eventually move to Oakland.
Okay.
And fill a vacancy left by the Raiders. Boom.
The Oakland Jets. Stanzik, do you have some gut questions for Marcus? I have a good one. My producer, Dan Stanzik, he's 31 years. 31, Dan?
33.
33. Okay. You got old, Stanzik, since the last time I asked that question.
Okay.
Will Dan Stanzik, who is not married but is living with his girlfriend, will Stanzik get engaged and or married in the next 365 days? What's the gut telling you?
Absolutely. At some point, she's going to demand the ring or dip, and he's going to do the right thing and make an honest woman of her.
How about that? Stanzik, how do you feel about that? The gut's telling him yes.
Marcus, what do you think about Clayton Kershaw? Why is he so bad in the playoffs? What's your gut telling you?
What's your gut telling you, Clayton Kershaw?
This is the curse of Kirk Gibson. They beat my beloved A's when I was in 1988, when I was a little boy crying, and Dodgers will forever pay penance for that. So that's why he sucks in the playoffs, because of Kirk Gibson hitting a home run on Dennis Eckersley. That's why.
I like how you tie that all together. It makes zero sense, but I like it. You are my guy, man. You are my guy.
Don't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I mean, listen, you talk gibberish. You're on both sides of the story. I mean, you speak from the gut. I love you, Marcus. Marcus, I f***ing love you, man.
This is how I roll. This is journalism of 2019.
Yes, it is, and people hate me for it. And also, we are going to come up with a list of things. I just want you to go up to KD and just bring him up and see what he says, okay? But they'll be good.
I'm ready. That's going to be fun.
Stupidity.
All right, fun episode today. Stanzik, great job. You made me do that Marcus Thompson interview. I wanted to, but I wasn't that – like, I didn't realize he was going to be that good, and you have taught me a valuable lesson. Just tape as much stuff as you can, and let's see what sticks. And Marcus Thompson, I knew. Like, I went into it not feeling too good about it, and 5 seconds into it, I realized this guy is lighting up our podcast.
Stu, I'm proud of you. You are finally trusting my gut.
Yeah, well said. All right, everyone. Great episode. Fun episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Then unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Do it until we're number one, and do it for Marcus Thompson and his stomach. The man needs to eat. Do it right now. Stupidity!